It is Friday, the 23rd of October, 2015, and this is episode 262 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode of Digital Outbox. I'm Chris, and Ian's with me as ever. Hello, Ian.
I'm joining you. Good evening, Chris.
I didn't say that, did I?
No.
See? I remembered. So let's talk news. I'm a bit hungover, by the way, everyone. So if I'm a bit, you know...
I'm hoping it means you're more insightful.
I think it's going to mean if I just stop and go quiet, I've probably fallen asleep. But let's talk news. Hopefully this will keep me awake. Talk, keeping everyone awake by losing their customer data. They've come under a sustained and significant cyber attack, which even ISIS and people like that have been claiming they're involved.
It's just...
basically, this is a very serious thing, and it's not that long since we were talking about them having been hacked previously. They do reckon that credit card details, or they're saying it's too soon to know for sure, but they reckon credit card details and bank details have been taken. People have already received spam, you know, sort of spam calls trying to hoof them of their money.
It's the third in a year. They reckon there's 4 million affected. They don't know what's been grabbed. Some really dubious advice coming out as well. You know, things like, oh, you know, just check your email headers because the thieves don't tend to spoof these. It's like, come on, that's really poor advice.
And my mum's not going to know what to do with that. I mean, she's not with to talk to, but, well, you know, I'm just saying. Who's going to know what to do with that?
And I think the issue for me is that previous hacks, they'd kind of denied, even though lots of customers were saying, why am I getting, you know, called, you know, from alleged TokTok, you know, security advisors and asking for my details. And they were like, nope, not us. And fair enough, if you've got somebody's email address and through some other hack or some other data mining, you get somebody's details that could just have been coincidental. But this is pretty significant. To be honest, any company whose chief executive is called Dido Harding, I do have a bit of trouble believing. sorry, that's been me being dickish.
Not as dickish as him.
It's a her. off to a good start. They've seemingly also had a ransom email. So Dido got a ransom email. Okay. Basically saying, give us some money or we'll release the data.
But as the data has been released anyway, it's kind of pointless. That's probably just a chancer. We've talked before, TalkTalk are a bit of a pile 'em high, sell 'em cheap type company. The fact that they've had these breaches before, it's disappointing that there is now, I think they realized before that, you know, their data policies weren't good enough, and they obviously haven't had enough time to react. And now, say this... customers are left with a whole ton of stink.
And they seem to see that whole thing about the kind of, we've been contacted. I mean, that could have been you. That could have been me just sending them an email. And it's like, I mean, chief executive, I don't know whether it's an individual or a group reporting to be the hacker. And it's like, so you don't know anything. You'd have been well just keeping your mouth shut. So.
Anyway, it just seems that this is a complete, you know, we're totally talking about this every single week now.
Indeed.
Facebook. Made a lot of money and didn't pay a lot of tax. So in 2014, they only paid £4,327 in tax, in fact. Officially, the company ran at a loss in the UK, and that's kind of the reason. Obviously, the employees did pay tax, but most people pay more tax than they did as a company, even though overall in 2014, the company did grow by a few billion. So they did have a bit of cash.
They do have cash, and it's to be honest, all the big companies are going to come under increasing pressure.
You know, they will.
I mean, they were talking to Amazon this year, and Amazon have done really well. You know, they're making money the second quarter, and they were talking to their UK head, and he was talking about how, you know, well, yeah, we might make money, but if we reinvest it all, and the interviewer said, you mean, so basically you make a loss? I went, yeah, how can you pay tax on a loss? Oh, and it's a bit like what Facebook are saying.
Reinvestments.
Here.
reinvestment's a legitimate company thing, you know, thing for a company to do, especially when they're growing. But if, you know, if they pump all their profit into, as they've been doing, Luxembourg, places like that, that's how they get around it. So Luxembourg suddenly makes 3 billion profit and everywhere else makes a loss.
And I mean, as many people are saying, there's what they're doing is legal, but it's about spirit. But none of these companies are in it for spirit. They're in it to make money.
No, and the governments aren't really in it to stop them doing it. So we probably won't see. We'll see some headlines that are made. But look at the
Chinese visit this week. If the government was serious about saving the steel industry, they would have went sod off home. But they didn't.
So yes, that it will be a growing issue. It will be a political issue. But like I say, the companies aren't in minded to not do it, and governments aren't minded to stop them. So I'm sure we'll carry on the merry-go-round. Facebook are going to tell you if GCXQ are spying on you, or basically they're going to, if they spot that someone may have compromised your account and they suspect that it is done via a government agency or it's a sophisticated enough attack that it's unlikely to be a kiddie hacker, they're going to give you a warning basically and tell you that that's happened and tell you to rebuild your hardware because something's gone wrong at a fundamental level.
Which is mental. I mean, I can't wrap my head around how they detect that and then how they can't do something else to stop it if they can see it. But that's just me. I don't know if you know about Facebook adverts. I mean, do they vet adverts? Can somebody put up a kind of advert that says similar to the message and says, "We have detected you've been, you know, been watched by a government agent"?
Click here,
enter your password, and you'll be safe.
The kind of extent of the, you know, these government taxes was, you know, again, some of the Edward Snowden whistleblowing sort of facts. Things like having Trojan, you know, those silly Trojan apps. So apps where just, you know, get sprayed around all the app stores and then inside them they've got this sophisticated sort of hidden access software. So it's a fun place, the internet, isn't it? Anyway, so yes, they will be doing that. So if you see that account, like they say, I mean, I think the reason they're telling you to rebuild your hardware is because, you know, the chances are you've got some sort of key logging malware or something like that going on. Therefore, even changing your password ain't going to protect you because it's, you know, fundamentally it's the hardware that's letting them gain access.
Yep. Two little other quick Facebook snippets that I was going to add in. One, mm-hmm. there's been lots of chat about iOS and audio in the background and battery draining. Mm-hmm. It seems to be affecting lots of people. Shaq certainly was critical of it. And Facebook have said they've found what the issue is and they're going to fix it.
Okay.
So it was all about, you know, when the video plays and it's silent, yeah. it was all doing something in the background and it was still churning away even though you'd close it up. And the second thing is they're turning on search for the 2 trillion kind of public posts so wow. that you can, over the coming days, you'll be able just to search and it will filter and show you all the public posts that matches your search.
I don't even know how that happens, but they do it for Twitter, don't they? So
it's just the fact it's like that is massive. Just a bit of data, 2 trillion.
Unbelievable. I just don't know how it works. Magic elves.
We'll come on to magic hardware later on.
Twitter is going to officially launch its polls. They're going to launch with just 2 options. Basically, you can choose one option or another. There's not full details available yet, but they will be running that out into all their kind of their platforms. Is this a good idea, Ian? Yes or no?
It feels a bit desperate.
That's not a yes or no.
Oh, sorry. No.
There you go. Thank you.
Because when you look at and I've not got it in any of the apps yet. I even have got an Android tablet and I tried it on Twitter on there, thinking maybe it'll be on there. No, it wasn't. But they're giving up like that kind of, you know, they're putting it front and center with alongside their, you know, click here and do all the kind of photo stuff. So they obviously think it's important. It just feels a bit weird that there's 2. I guess it's just to keep it simple, you know, that there's 2 options. But it's I don't know, just. You know, when you look at what Facebook rolling out and you're like, oh, we're launching polls. And maybe that's...
It doesn't sound that exciting, does it?
No, maybe the news organisations and some of the kind of more, you know, broadcasty type places are asking for it. I don't... think a lot of music.
I can see, you know, polls always got their place. You know, why not make it nice and simple, quite quick and straightforward? Two options seems a bit limiting, and there's not clear where all this data is going and what it's going to be used for, because they're saying it's not going to be your response is not going to be logged somewhere. It's not going to be available to the advertisers. So where the hell is it stored? What's it stored for? And where is this going to come back and bite us? That's what I'm thinking.
And they're also saying the poll will run for 24 hours. And then there's basically at the end, everybody who votes in it gets a push notification telling them, you know, here's the final result. Okay. So I guess there's a bit in the article that says it is about getting people back into the app. So if you put a poll up, and then 24 hours later, it's like, here's the results. It gets you back into Twitter again. So it's all this, I think it's all of this about how can we get people to stay in their Twitter client rather than going out to wherever.
Yeah. And they've announced they're going to revamp the Twitter client for Mac desktop. So it's going to have the new features that kind of have been available on the web so far, but they're going to integrate those back into the desktop app. Whoop. Do you use a desktop app?
Yeah, but it's the one that I can't remember. Tweetbot. Yeah, because it's modern, fast, and it syncs.
Yeah,
you know, and that still kills me. I put on the Twitter client on this tablet, and straight away your timeline's out. You read a few tweets, and you go back to Tweetbot, and it's like, no, the syncing's just so important.
It desperately is, and they've, you know, this, all these announcements came out of their they're calling it, is it Twitter Flight? So it's their developer conference, basically.
So they've not had one for a while, and obviously they've really kind of hacked off developers. So this was they announced the conference, and this was, as you say, you know, there was polls, you know, even just saying, by the way, we're going to redo this desktop app is a good thing. But I don't know, it's just the stuff they're launching, you know, like a poll. I would rather have had, you know, see if they'd said syncing across all the different devices you've got. Boom.
Yeah,
nice.
The most important thing they said at this conference was sorry, basically, to the developers for being knobs. You know, we've covered in the podcast endlessly how they went through a process of just shutting everyone down and everything down and trying to bring everything back in house, and it's almost correlated. I don't know whether this is just, you know, anecdotal or what, but it's correlated from being a growth company gaining users and gaining there was exciting buzz around it. As soon as they brought it all in house, shut down all the innovation, it's now, it just lost all that, and I don't think they've grown properly since. So they've kind of gone back and said, sorry about that, we made a mistake, and apologies, come back and we'll love you now.
And the bit that I still think so annoying about, because Twitter started off, it was really, and it still is a simple service, but the things that they've grown, you know, hashtags. That wasn't Twitter themselves. You know,
none of the innovations were Twitter.
You know, and if you look at all the things that they've added in, and they really did rely on, the first time there was an app store on the iPhone, and instead of using a web, you were actually having a proper client. It was like, this is so much better. And they really benefited from that. You know, there was a real kind of fight to try and who can get the best client. And then they basically said, by the way, we're going to limit how many users you can have.
So that
just kills any developer. It's like, so why would you go and spend time building a new client now? You wouldn't.
They've said sorry, but they haven't said what the difference is going to be now.
No.
They've said that they want to restart the processes again, but what they haven't done is said we're going to allow people to build apps now. We're going to allow them to do this, that, and the other. So that's not clear yet. It's a good idea to try and get some innovation back into this.
It definitely is. I mean, this is Jack Dorsey, who was announced, 2 weeks ago, as back being, you know, CEO.
He's been acting CEO anyway, but he's
been acting CEO, but I guess the other thing is he's now said, I'm taking a third of the shares that own the company, and that's going back into an employee fund. So he really is trying to get a bit of buzz and come and work, and this is the place to be. But at the same time, he was on the board while all this was happening. So everybody's booming Dick Costello and saying, it's a bit like what you're saying. They really grew, and then it says, right, we need to make money. So developers, sod off. It's our platform. Go home.
Yeah, you've done everything you can do for us. They didn't. They just a bit short-sighted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dell, they're not short of a few bob. Dell have bought EMC for $67 billion, which is the biggest ever buyout, I think. So EMC, they're kind of Well, I don't know. No one really knows. I mean, we see them every now and again. You see, they're three coloured letters, aren't they? I've seen them elsewhere. I think probably I've seen them. What's that bit of software? Virtual software. I'm thinking of
VMware.
Yeah. So that's probably where most people have seen it in the industry. But they're in a lot of sort of. I guess it's businesses that use their services.
But yeah, they're very much enterprisey. So the other place you might have seen it, again, it just depends on what you use. So we've got the little RSA tokens, you know, for doing the kind of, so that they own RSA, and they've got VMware. But they reckon that this buyout, they might actually spin off VMware as a separate company. But it's a whole...
Yeah, because they've just spent all their cash and they need to get some back.
Exactly. But it's a whole load of, you know, it's cloud services. It's all about, and I guess there's a lot of the companies are doing the same. You know, if you go and look at IBM and you go and look at all these kind of big enterprisey things, they're all saying, you know, big data, you know, and the amount of mails I get now at work, big data. You need to understand big data and you need to do something about it.
It's just
and
such...
cloud, you need to understand cloud and you need to do something about it. And storage. So in some ways this complements Dell, and if you think Dell is, yes, they've got lots of enterprisey stuff still, but I think a lot of people saw them as, you know, home PC. Home PC market's dead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean that's what it's happened. But it's clearly not completely dead, because Dell has grown, and because its owner bought it out, and it's such a private, it's not a publicly traded enterprise. It's amazing how much it's grown given that. I mean, it's still considered in a market with very few names left. Dell is still considered, you know, a good one, shall we say?
Yeah, I mean Dell and HP are still probably the big enterprise, you know, box shifters.
Yeah.
You know, from a desktop perspective, mm-hmm. You then start to then think, you know, who else is there?
Yeah, it struggles then. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's an awful lot of money though. I guess they've done their due diligence and stuff, made sure it's worth it. But it kind of goes with what I was saying last week. I don't get how some things are valued so much higher than others. It doesn't seem to make much sense.
No.
But I think it, especially in the enterprise world, all of this is kind of hidden away, because it's not, you know, it's just not in the public sphere really.
Absolutely. And even the fact that all the people talk about this, it was like, you know, Gartner and Forrester, it was all those kind of enterprisey consultant, you know, brands, rather than the kind of tech bloggers, you know, that we tend to associate.
Western Digital are going to buy Sandisk. So Western Digital, massive
Sandisk.
sorry. Yes. So Western Digital, famous for their sort of hard disky type portable drive storage, spin drives, so disk drives. Sandisk are much more flash storagey type thing, and SD cards, things like that. And both have sort of started to struggle recently, with Western Digital being disks are on the out, really. And Sandisk sort of lost their, sort of were growing quite quickly, but have sort of faltered. So this seems like a good match to, you know, bring the two technologies together.
Yeah, it's weird. I see, if I was buying an external drive, I always look at Western Digital first. They've just never really let me down.
I've got two drives, and some people don't like them, but actually, like I say, they've never let me down.
No, and I think it's just back to if you had a bad experience, then you'll tend to go elsewhere. You know, you'll maybe look at one of the other options, but it's always, touch wood, it's always been okay for me. So,
no, I'm the same. And so, yeah, for me, Western Digital is quite a good brand. And I've got Sandisk little SD cards and stuff like that.
As do I.
There you go. White, 19 billion they paid.
Well, I was going to say, what, white middle-aged male UK. Maybe that's the demographic for buying Western Digital and Sandisk. I've called you middle-aged and got away with it.
19 billion that costs, so there you go. I did note it. I was a little bit insulted, but I don't think I could shy away from that anymore. I did note it.
Yeah, cock.
It's well and truly in this. I can't really argue anymore. Mac. Apple have come out with their updates to Mac. It's been about 2 years since we had a refresh on these. And they've spec'd 1 year. Is it only 1 year? Okay, fair enough. Feels like two. And they've spec bumped, but in quite a significant way. So the 27-inch is now going to come with the 5K Retina.
So previously it used to be one was an option, but now it's everyone.
Yes. Yeah, and the price, you know, it means you can have the 5K for 1499 is the cheapest model you can get. They've done a few other bits. They've made the display better. They reckon it's showing 25% more colors, and they've tried to have some more technology in there to balance out some of the reds, greens over the blue, and they reckon it's good. Of course they do.
I must admit, I do want one.
Seeing as my Mac just crashed literally before we started this podcast, it properly went to grey screen and said something went wrong, which wasn't good. Yes, I want one, but by the time I've spec'd it up to what I want, it's so certainly not in the region of 1449. I'm very much closer to £3,000.
I spec'd mine, it was 2.8.
Yeah, so I think we've probably spec'd it the same. Exactly. Like, tick, 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 tick.
It was basically max, yeah. Max, 16 gig, because I ain't giving you the tax on the memory. Oh, 2.8.
Yeah, so yeah, £2,800. But I mean, it is a beautiful bit of hardware. So
yeah, and mine's 4 years old, and it's still, apart from the only bit of struggles, the 4K video that I get off the drone. See, editing that, it does chunter.
Right. Mine, one of the back screen backlights go in, and it does, like you say, it churns. I miss the fact that I haven't got flash storage or anything like that.
Yes, I think that's the thing. And that's the thing. So we're going to move on to like the 21 inches were updated as well. So you can now get a 4K display for £900 with a 21 inch.
Which is, again, that's a
and it's amazing.
Nice bit of hardware. But I don't think I want the smaller size. I couldn't.
No. But well, there's two limited things. Shaq was really interested, but there's two limited things. So you think £900, that's a great price. And you maybe bump the CPU, but it's still coming with a fat disk, slow disk.
Yeah.
You know, rotating disc, all that nonsense. Can't remember the proper names from there.
It's discs. But,
not flash. And that is such a system magnetic killer from a performance. Yeah, it's not that either. We're strong. but it's such a performance killer. You know, when you go flash, you just can't. It's one of these. You just can't go back. You just notice the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's 100%. I mean, they're both great products, and they've just had a bump. They've had processor bumps as well. So it's not, you know, they've got a bit more weight underneath them.
One small other little point, you can't expand the memory on a 21-inch.
Right, okay, so what you have is what you get. Wow, okay, there we go. Which is frustrating.
And I know some people might think it's too big, but honestly, 27.
No, 100%. I'm never going back. They've also upgraded their hardware offerings, so the keyboard, trackpad and mouse just got effectively rechargeable, so you can now plug them in to charge them rather than having battery changes. The keypad, or the key, is the keyboard's now using the new small throw keys.
They're seemingly slightly different to what was in the MacBook, so they're slightly different again. So seemingly there's a bit of throw, but it's not as much throw as the current one keyboard. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit weird.
I've never liked the Apple keyboard.
I'm using a rechargeable Logitech.
Yeah, I use a Logitech Wave basically, and I really like that. And I use the Logitech mouse as well, because the Apple mouse was diabolical.
It's garbage.
They haven't changed that. So they have, all they've done is made that kind of rechargeable basically.
Well, they've made it magical in that it's rechargeable, and you recharge it by plugging it in underneath it. And what they're saying is, but if you only charge in for 30 seconds, you get 4 or 5 hours usage.
Which is pretty amazing.
I don't know. There's nothing magical about that mouse. It's a really bad design.
It is.
And they've chucked.
It was a waste underneath of money buying that for myself.
The weird one. So not weird. So the click pad. And I got a click pad when I got the Mac.
Yep, so did I.
And it is nice. But I don't use it a lot. I use it, but when I need to use it, I like it.
I never use it. It's the keyboard, the mouse, and the click pad just went in a box to the side and has never been out since.
So the new one is 40% bigger. It's white, but it's £110.
I know. All these things have come with a bump of price. So they've all bumped up in, like, the trackpad. Yeah, 50% more.
Keyboard's £80.
Yeah.
It's a keyboard that does nothing. There's nothing magical about it. Mm-hmm. I just looked at all three of them and just thought, no, they're really quite cack.
They also, they've gone away from the sort of sleek design. They're kind of like wedges now. They're all kind of blocks of metal wedges. And it reminded me of the old BBC B kind of shape. It was just a wedge. And that's what it reminded me. So it felt like it's back in time. I mean, I'm sure in the flesh they're probably nice looking things, and I'm sure they feel good and well made and all those kind of almost givens. But it's just, that mouse was they need to get rid of it. It's not fair on the people that buy it.
Well, because most people new to the Mac will just say, I'll get a Magic Mouse.
Yeah, of course they will.
And honestly, there is nothing. I do not think there's anything. And I know people swear by it and
it
say
it's
good.
No, it's not.
It's cack. So if I was buying a mouse just now, I would go and buy a Logitech Master, which is what I'm going to pick up next.
So mine is the Performance MX, which is the one before, right?
And that's what I've got just now. Yeah. But if you go and look at the Master, it's kind of the same price, but it's got loads of buttons and it's actually got a touchpad on the side and it's got a scroll wheel on the side as well as the top. Mm-hmm. And do loads of things. Looks lovely. That's for me. I was annoyed by this because when I saw all three things, I was like, oh, and they're calling it all magic. And I thought, oh, it'll all support all these different things. And it's like, no, it's rubbish.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's rubbish. I'm sure in the flesh they look nice. But yeah. I just think functionality-wise is really poor.
But nevertheless, we got some good bumps on hardware as far as the actual computer goes, which is important. And if you're in the market for that, it's probably a good time to buy. Apple News has also arrived. This is their replacement for the newsstand and consolidates the news stories from around different media empires, basically. Have you got it available to you?
Yeah, so if you have to update to 9.1. So 9.1 came out for like iOS this week, and that enabled Apple News in the UK. Or if you're already beta user, so Shaq said it for a while because he's staying on the beta track. Mm-hmm. And I added a few sources. It looked nice enough. The articles loaded really fast, you know, nice and clean. But it was like, there was nothing too fantastic about it. Interesting, when I updated my mom's devices today and set up a few channels for her, she was like, I really like this, because when I showed her things like Flipboard, I said, I don't want to use that. All feels a bit geeky, clunky. This is just nice and simple. You fire it up, just shows refresh. Article is actually quick compared to looking on a website or looking, jumping around different apps. And it's like, again, it's a bit like the kind of the photos thing. See when it just works. It's like, that's really nice.
Yep.
So
there you go. Yeah. 6.5 million paying subscribers to Apple Music has been announced. Fair few numbers, which seemed good. And as I've heard, Tim Cook sort of said people love the kind of human curation sort of side of their service, and that's what I've heard. I've heard it's very good. You don't look convinced, but nevertheless, I've heard it's actually a pretty good service.
So I did a blog post about it, and because I was really hacked off, because and I'll fire it up and just check again. So I actually paid for the first month. So I've been 3 months in, paid for the first month, and if I go and look at the For You, it's constantly giving me Rolling Stones, no matter how many times I say I don't want this. It's Rolling Stones from the 60s, Rolling Stones from the 70s, Rolling Stones best hits. And it's like, how many times do I need to tell you I do not want this? So I'm looking through it just now. Rolling Stones ballads. I mean, how many times? This is ridiculous. It really hacks me off. And
I think they're trying to tell you you're wrong.
For something that is a mixture of human creation and automation, it just seems really poor. The other bit that hacks me off is this kind of introducing you to. Mm-hmm. It'll tell you, like, introducing you to Churches. I've got all their music. Yeah, yeah. Why you introduce me to some introduction to Chemical Brothers? I've got every album. You should know that. You've got it. I've been uploading it for years. It's all there. Stop introducing me. See if it was introducing me or it was inspired by. Great.
Yep.
Give me artists that I've already got all their music. I don't need that. So these little things are really starting to niggle me.
I can tell.
And then 9.1 came out through the week. And this morning I went to work and I was thinking, well, I uploaded a couple of albums that I'd bought. Because on Apple Music, it was a compilation album and it wasn't, half the tracks were missing. And it wasn't there. And because iCloud Music had been switched off again. I was like, Jesus, this is honestly stab. I'm so tempted. And we're going to come on to it about YouTube. So tempted just to go Google. And sod them. Oh, wow. But the only thing that might keep it
back on
is,
the ground yet?
I know I'm being a bit ranty. The only thing that might keep it is on Monday we can start to buy Apple TVs, and I will be buying an Apple TV because Plex is a day one app, and Apple Music on that, just because it's on all the devices, makes sense. And I'm sure, I don't know if Google Music will be there or not.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Just to put it in perspective as well, Spotify has sort of 20 million paying subscribers, so they're still the big G's.
And it is also the most, it's the most revenue generating, it's the biggest, whatever that is on Apple. You know how you can see like what grosses the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spotify was there.
And Spotify is really, I mean, it really is taking off. You know, I work with the music industry quite a lot, and Spotify is a big watchword at the moment.
All you had to say was, I work with the industry, and we would have known what you meant.
YouTube is launching subscription services to howls of joy and consternation and disappointment. So basically, they're going to allow channels to go subscription only. Going to call it YouTube Red. £6.50 a month it's going to end up costing. It's not going to have adverts in it, so it's a different way of sort of new payment model. And some of the big YouTubers are going to go under this banner and see how it goes.
It's interesting.
I find it quite exciting in some respects. We'll see how it works, but if it means that YouTube can do, you know, or these content providers can actually come up with some money to do, you know, proper content. So YouTube at the moment is just a place for people to upload their, you know, their video content, but Netflix is the place where, you know, show producers put their well, you know, I don't know, I'm not getting doing a very good job of explaining it, but maybe YouTube can turn into that original content provider and you know, they can actually start doing some of these things because they're getting more and more money in. I'm not sure.
Well, and the thing is, YouTube's not our platform. I've actually been using YouTube more and more. I've subscribed to more and more things because I'm finding some of the videos quite entertaining.
Yeah.
But not to the point of, you know, if you look at the biggest ones like PewDiePie and...
I've never watched... I don't know these things. I'm not in that sphere. No, I do use
YouTube.
And I've
watched a couple of them. And it's a guy screaming every 10, 20 seconds. It's just... find it very irritating, but he's watched by millions. Every video is millions of people watching it.
Yeah.
And he's got one of the original shows, which is called Scare PewDiePie. A reality adventure series is Felix reacts to situations inspired by his favorite games. I'm sure people will want to see it. I actually think YouTube didn't sell this really well because they said it's $9.99 and it'll have no adverts and we'll have this original content. But if you're a Google Play Music subscriber, you also get YouTube Red.
Right. Okay.
And if you subscribe to YouTube Red, you also get Google Play Music.
So it's kind of a tit-for-tat exchange.
Yeah. So basically Google are saying, give us $10 and we'll give you, you know, video and music.
Okay. So you're right. They didn't sell it very well. And obviously the headline is that this content that we were seeing for free before, we're now going to have to pay to go and see, or rather the parents are going to have to pay for their kids to be able to watch this stuff. Let's see how it plays out. Firewalls typically have meant massive reductions in numbers of people watching, because especially the kind of market that it's in, it's throwaway still. So we'll see whether they really do want to watch that content.
Yes.
BBC cracking down on VPN users to access iPlayer. So iPlayer in the US is due out soon, and they're basically taking a much stronger stance on whether they're allowing people to watch it via a VPN. So up until now, you kind of could use iPlayer by using a VPN, but they've got detectors. People are saying they can get around it already, but it'll be an arms race, I'm sure.
Yes, as you said, they've already said they're going to launch a service, and I'm sure the service is going to be here. Watch all this content, it's an iPlayer for a fee.
Which, yeah, of course it is.
Some people will want to pay. You know,
of course they do, 100%. Yeah. And if they've got a nice, easy way and straightforward way of doing it, yeah, they're definitely. Good for the BBC, good for everyone else. Dropbox announces Paper. So this is Dropbox's equivalent of Google Docs, basically. It's a bit different, and it's kind of like a straight up text editor rather than a kind of word processor, I'd say. But you can embed stuff into it, so you can actually embed video content and pictures and things like that from your Dropbox. So it's a bit different.
How I felt.
Because they've already worked with Microsoft to do the kind of online document stuff, so it's a bit of a weird announcement.
I thought so as well, and it's funny, we've not heard much from Dropbox.
No.
You know, they bought Mailbox, you know, and you saw this kind of idea of they're going to have a mail platform, they're going to do all these other things, they're going to be a real big rival to Google, and it almost went really quiet. Mailbox isn't getting many updates. If you look at the Twitter account for it, I think it's like 6 or 8 months since they last tweeted on it. It was like a dead product, and it was a good product. I'm not slagging it off, but this feels the same. It's like, so you've put out a very simple, you know, way of collaborating in documents, but surely most folk are either going to be using Google Docs already or inside you know.
Well, maybe they're not. I mean, Dropbox are obviously making a big push for actual business users.
Maybe.
And I think it's kind of an unnatural company in the sense that they are making money. It's a popular service, and it's people. It's an everyday word in business and in the consumer market. So,
They remind me of Evernote. Evernote was a really good product. I really liked it, and then it just added more and more. But all the more and more was bloat. You know, they're chasing that enterprise type thing. But you know, they're adding out like chat feature, so you can chat on your articles and share stuff. And it's like maybe enterprises are asking for that. I don't see it.
No.
You know, for me as a home user, I'm not interested in that. Same with Dropbox, I'm not.
You know, it's almost like the companies feel like they need to keep releasing stuff to keep in the, because you know, at the end of the day, they get on our podcast, they get in the news channels, they get a press release out, their name gets dropped again. They know that they're going to get in the news cycles. Maybe that's the reason, really.
Maybe.
Instagram. It's launched Boomerang, which is 1 second videos that just loop backwards and forwards.
It creates GIFs and
enough said on that.
And I didn't really get it when they did hyperlapse, but it was really nice. It just feels weird.
Again, it was a 1 week thing, and then it seemed to just die away. I've not really seen them constantly be released everywhere. I know they're around, but
yeah, I guess it did. If I'm on a train or on a plane, I quite like taking them.
Sure.
So,
but it's not like you see them every day on Facebook being shared around or anything like that. So you know. And these, it just seems weird. Okay, anyway, there's enough said on that, really. Uber won its court case over the taxi app. So it all hinged around whether Uber was actually a metered service, because effectively you had a device in the car which ran on a basic time and distance basis. Black Cab said, yeah, it's a metered service and therefore it's breaking rules because it's not regulated like it should be. We're the only ones that can have that. So and the judge said no. The judge says no because it's not the meter in the car that's actually doing the calculations. It's being calculated off site, so it's a different thing. So
the law is a funny thing.
It is a funny thing. But that, you know, at the end of the day, I think it, from a consumer point of view, it's good to have that competition. And the black cab drivers, you can hear their argument, which is, you know, we have to do all this knowledge and stuff, but technology is taking over from the knowledge now. Because effectively you can just have GPS in your car and everyone can do it without the need to know it ahead of time.
No, I agree. I mean, for me, Google Maps, I'll even sometimes run it even in known journeys because it's routing me to the quiet roads.
Yeah.
I
haven't really had enough time to think about whether it's, you know, what we'd be losing by having, you know, these kind of Uber type services over having the black cab service. And I'm sure we would be losing stuff. I mean, they're also moaning about, I say moaning, it's not fair to say moaning, they're highlighting the fact that they're forced to take breaks and things like that, and Uber's not subject to those same regulations, so they're not fighting on an even basis, should we say.
You can see why they're
annoyed, but at the end of the day, this is just progress.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly a lot of the kind of technology folk I follow just seem to swear by Uber, you know, dead eat. And Uber's just launched in Glasgow last weekend, so it was all... That result came out, and at the same, almost like an hour later, they launched in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And so the same complaints up here from, you know, the black cabs. It was like, this is wrong. You know, this is a livelihood. This is, but it's competition.
It is competition, but like you, everyone I've heard that's used the service loves it. I haven't.
Yeah, but there's still a bit of a whiff about Uber, just the way they behave. There's all these stories have come out about how, you know, I'm trying to remember the other kind of firms similar to them. Was it Lyft was one of them? There's other ones that are
Hail,
all...
was it Hail or something like that?
There's a Halo I know down in London. But there was in America that they were found, it was like lots of Uber staff were phoning one of their competitors and doing false, you know, false hires and stuff.
Yeah, but I wonder where those stories are coming from, whether they're genuine
But there was never stories about the other firms doing that. Mm. And there was just too many. And Uber are massive compared to the other ones. Yeah. You know, they are just like the dominant winner. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's just easy to take, you know, throw stones at the big guy.
You can make a story up like that, whether it's true or not.
It just felt there was a bit of a whiff. That's all.
Drones in our ongoing investigation of drones. Drones likely in America to have to be registered now.
Oh, no, they are.
Okay, they are now need to be registered. So Basically, because there's too many near misses happening between drones and aircraft, and you should be conversant with the laws of flight in order to control one of these things, and therefore they are now making you register to make sure that happens.
Come to America, buy a drone, you need to register. Buy a gun, crack on.
Yeah.
It was the reason I threw this in, even though it's America, was you're right, I was wrong.
It's gonna happen, and it happened.
We've got 6 months.
Yeah.
Because there's a loon down in Hyde Park got arrested recently for driving one around, and then one of the, I think it was the Scott Monument up here, somebody fired their drone in and smashed a window.
Yeah. So yeah, not long at all. And in more drone news, friend of the show.
Oh Paul, no.
Paul lost his drone sadly in a.
Not me.
In a tree, tree weir based incident.
So yeah.
It's now stuck at the bottom of a weir.
So he was traveling along a weir, caught a tree branch, plopped it in.
That's it, the end of his drone. But at least he won't be subject to regulation. But that's every cloud. have you got a pick?
Samsung Galaxy Tab. No. No picks this week.
No, okay. We're not far away from Halo. I'm still enjoying Batman.
My pick is Monday is Apple TV, Tuesday is Halo.
There you go. It's not long then. Wow, is it that soon? That's quite exciting. It's just
because now we usually get Friday releases, because it's like such a big thing in America. Always there's a game releases on a Tuesday. So we get it on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, I haven't really checked my order to check whether it's processing yet. But
no, maybe. I need to go and make sure I've ordered it. I can't remember doing it.
I better go and double check as well. Yeah.
What I'll do is what I usually do. See, instead of checking now, I just order it from Amazon and it says, you've already ordered this. And you'll be like, cool.
Easy.
Because it's quicker than actually going to the order page. And
have we spoken to Bernie Lick yet?
He's not going to get an Xbox One.
Come on. He'll want to. Come on, Birdie. Come on.
I know. I'll tweet him after this. I do remember reading it was something like 70 or 80 gig install. So
what?
It sounds like it's going to be one of these install from the game, install from the disc, and then download loads, which is like, ugh, I know. Cock.
Don't care. Still can play it. Doesn't matter.
So am I.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, that is the end of our podcast for this week. So thanks for listening. Find out everything about us, digitaloutbox.com. You can talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com, and Twitter, digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK, and all my racing is academyracer.co.uk, which I realise I haven't updated, so I will be doing that over this weekend. Where can we find you?
I was just about to ask you about the race, but instead people can go and read about it.
Academyracer.co.uk.
My blog is iandee.net, and I bought a camera a couple of months ago, which is a nice Fuji mirrorless thing. I've not blogged about it, so I am crafting I'm not crafting as I speak, but there'll be something up tomorrow, hopefully.
Okay, good.
And Twitter is Shweepa.
Thank you very much. So we will talk to you again next week, and goodbye.
Ta-da. Next week might be an issue.
Okay. It might be the week after.
It might be the week. I'm watching Bond.
Ah, okay. But there'll be not all four nights.
that is very true. Yeah. So Thursday, our usual Thursday night, I'm bonding.
Okay.
even better, Shaq managed to pick up tickets for Star Wars for the 17th, not the 18th.
I'm just going to let both of those relax in and just watch them.
Yeah, because I know, because we're going to be on like day minus one, it's just going to be like fanboys whooping in my ear and I'm going to be punching people.
it's certainly going to be I quite like it when the audience cheer at the opening credits, but then it's got to calm down.
Yeah, but it's like when like Chewie comes on screen, you know, people are going to be like, yeah, doing all that nonsense. Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, cock, just sod off. I did joke to Shaq that I'd bought two plastic lightsabers, and he was like, cool. And I was like, I'm not.
I haven't.
And then we did kind of semi-jest about dressing as Jedis and getting... I don't think I could.
You are going to be that person.
No, Shaq could be. He's got a beard and everything. He could be Obi-Wan. If he doesn't... I found out this week he dyes his beard. Anyway. Enough.